I'm going to do some speed preaching here. No. I got a powerful message for you. Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 2, I want to start with. And it says, therefore, be imitators. Say imitators. Imitators. Imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Are you sweet-smelling today? All right, spiritually, right? 1 John chapter 4 real quick. 1 John chapter 4. It's right before 2 John. Hope that helps. 1 John, not the Gospel of John. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, or God is love. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, into the world that we might live through him. Hallelujah. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So this is awesome. The Bible reveals to us that God is love. God literally is love. Amen? God expects us to love. Why? Because he is love. He says, be holy for I am holy. He is love, so we are to love. Are you kind of getting the picture here? The very nature of God is love. Everything that God does is motivated by love. Everything he does, amen, is motivated by love. And we as Christians, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are expected to be imitators of God as dear children. 1 John 4, 7 said that everyone that loves is born of God, or born again, saved, okay? So we know that not every person on the face of this earth is born again or saved. You agree with that? Not every person is born again. So you could say this then. There must be some different level of love that a Christian should walk in that the world is not or able to walk in. Hello? There should be a difference from the world's view of love and our view of love. Obviously, it's different from the worldly kind of love. If simply doing a kind act for an individual is what 1 John 4 is talking about, then every person on the face of this earth, whether born again or not born again, could say, yeah, see, I'm of God. I'm doing something kind. I'm doing something nice. But it obviously doesn't mean that. Are you picking up what I'm laying down? There's something different about the love that we are supposed to walk in as a follower and believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are four different Greek words that are translated love in the New Testament. The first one is philia, like Philadelphia. This term describes a love of friendship, affection, and fondness, often to describe Jesus' love for his disciples. It's a deep, meaningful connection between individuals who love each other's companionship. So remember when I talked about we're supposed to walk in love, but you might not like everyone? This is the kind of love where you actually like the person. You're fond of them. I'm fond of you. You get it? Okay. The next one is storge, S-T-O-R-G-E. This word denotes natural affection, particularly love for family members like parents, siblings, and children. It's a love that's rooted and shared in a shared kinship or bond. All right? We're working our way down. The next one is eros. Say eros. This Greek word that's translated love refers to a romantic or a sexual kind of love. All right? So that's eros, okay? I'm guessing if you probably look at it, it's probably where they get the word erotic from or something, because it has to do with that kind of a romantic kind of a love, all right, in human relationships. The one that we really need to be focused on is agape. Say agape. Agape is the God kind of love. Agape legitimately cares about a person's well-being and is willing to meet needs of an individual. Now, here you go. You could say it this way. Agape is the God kind of love. Okay? Listen to this. This blows it right out of the water. This is why, all right, the world cannot walk in this level, and you'll see why in a moment. But it's a love. Agape love is a love that prioritizes the well-being of others. Are you ready for this? Regardless of personal feelings or circumstances. Regardless of personal feelings or circumstances. All right? That's why we're supposed to love even what? Our enemies. Not just people we're fond of or that we like. We're supposed to love our enemies, right? One of the greatest enemies of this generation is preaching good works apart from connecting them to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the written word of God. Or morality apart from Jesus Christ, making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Any action or any good work apart from being born again, you want to know what the Bible calls that? A dead work. In other words, because it doesn't give you any favor with God. It might be a good thing that you're doing, but you still might be on your way to hell in the lake of fire without Jesus. Are you following me? All right. So there is a Christian movie. I mentioned this before, and I want to throw a shout out at it again. It's called Time Changer. Say Time Changer. And it deals with this topic. A Christian professor at a seminary writes a book about morals, all right? And he puts a line in his book about it's okay to teach morals apart from making Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. And then one of the other professors, because he said, hey, check out my book to all these college professors and let me know how you like it. Everyone was like, oh, we love it, we love it. And one professor said, something ain't right with this. One of the professors objects by saying, preaching morals and good works apart from Christ is absolutely disastrous, and it will lead people to hell without making Jesus Lord of their life. Now, I have heard many people that have made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of their life claim to know God and simply to be saved just because of good works, because of doing kind things for others. Well, sorry to bust your bubble, but that don't get you saved. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ gets you saved. Amen? And so at that point, it turns, it's a worldly thing. It's a fleshly thing. That's a dead work. 1 Corinthians 13 says that we can do all these good and kind things, even sacrifice yourself, even give your body to be burned, it says, for someone, and still not be doing it in love. Oh, that's pretty wild there, amen? To operate in the agape love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God kind of love, number one, you must be saved. You must be born again, all right? Agape love is not just in works. Are you ready for this? It has to do with not only works, but the motive of why you're doing something good. All right? It has to do with the motive of your heart. Why are you doing it? Agape love has both the proper pure motive and it has the actions combined with it. And one of those things, if one of those things are missing, your motives are wrong or the works are off, if one of those things are missing, you're missing the target and there's no blessing in it for you, period. That's not the God kind of love. Because it says, you can do all these things. Again, even your body to be burned? Wow. But it still doesn't meet the standard of agape love. So there are a lot of nice people in hell right now. They bought the lie. They bought the lie from Satan that good works, apart from making Jesus Lord of their life, was good enough to get them into heaven. Have you ever heard anyone say that before? You're like, hey, are you going, are you going to go to heaven one day? Oh, yeah. Why? What are you basing on? Well, I'm a good person. Really? Jesus himself even said, there is only one good, and that's God in heaven. Are you following me? All right, so good works don't get you into heaven, but good works should be following your life as a Christian. Amen? So, good works, again, they're commanded, of course they are, and expected to flow from a Christian, but with pure motives from your heart. All right? In other words, in pure agape love, there's no partiality. Say partiality. That's why you're supposed to even love your enemies. Right? All right? If someone's your enemy, that's not a good thing, by the way. I don't know if you guys knew that or not. Right? But here's the deal. For the Christian, good works are an outward manifestation or fruit of an inward change of your heart. Remember I talked about, was it last week or a couple weeks ago? I talked about the two Greek words that are used for change in the Word of God. And the first Greek word is change from the outside in. You know what we call those people? Hypocrites. They don't have a true heart change, but they're trying to do something good. All right. And then the other Greek word for change, when you get born again, is used. It's change in your heart from the inside out. In other words, you're doing it with pure heart, the right motives. Amen? So evidently, there is fruit that a person cannot attain to without being born again or saved or making Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. That is what the Holy Spirit is trying to reveal to us in the Word of God here. Jesus pointed out that there will be people who thought they were saved, who thought they were on their way to heaven, but they truly didn't have a relationship with Jesus. He said, many will come to me on that day, on judgment day, and say, Lord, have we not prophesied? Lord, have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done this? And Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you. And it goes on to say, why? You workers of iniquity. In other words, you were trying to do ministry things with the wrong motive. And you didn't. I didn't even know you. There needs to be a heart connection with the Lord. Are you following me? So that's why I always say the once saved, always saved theology is junk. And it sends people to hell. It sure does. That's an amen right there. Amen? Yeah. Ministry works and personal works must both be pure. Right? They both must be pure. When you became a Christian, the Holy Spirit came on the inside. He came to live on the inside of you. You now, as a Christian, have been empowered to overcome sin and to live a life of holiness that is pleasing to God. You can now that you're born again, the Holy Spirit came in, regenerated your spirit, man, kicked out the sin nature. And he regenerated your spirit, man. Now you can truly do works that are profitable for the kingdom of God. Now you can truly be what Ephesians said, an imitator of God. Are you following me? You can only be an imitator of God if you're his child, and you must be born again. Here, listen to this. God would not command Christians not to sin if it were not possible. God is a just God. He would not command you to do something that you were not able to do. Now, so the unpopular fact is this. Ready? Ready for the unpopular fact that no Christian wants to hear? It's possible to live a life free of sin. It's possible to live a life free of sin if you're doing what the Bible calls walking in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So being led or influenced by your born-again spirit, man, that's created, the Bible says, in true righteousness and holiness to make decisions in your life. That's where the Holy Spirit lives, in your spirit, man. So here's what it takes. You're like, what? I can live a life free of sin? Yeah, if God commands it, sure you can. But you know what it takes? It takes this. It takes a diligence. It takes a self-discipline. It takes this, thinking things through before you speak and before you act. That's all it does. If you will think things through, think of the consequences. Hey, if what I'm about to say, am I about ready to cross the line of sin? Hey, if I'm about ready to do something that's not going to be pleasing to God, guess what? That's what it takes, diligence and self-discipline to live a sin-free life. All right? But if you do sin, we have an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. We shoot for that sinless life, but we have an advocate if you mess up. Hello? Oh, yeah, it's tight, but it's right. Okay? So John, 1 John 4 points out that there is a level of love, of course, that an unsaved person, like I've been saying, is not able to attain to. All right? Go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16, I want to look at here. Say love. Say agape love. Say the God kind of love. We need the God kind of love flowing through us. Hallelujah. If we're going to see breakthrough, if we're going to see miracles happen, we got to walk in the God kind of love or it's not going to happen. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand that it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So there is an element of good works that the unsaved cannot attain to in their life. In fact, Jesus said this. He said, when you, my disciple, the Christian, he said that when we do our good works, it will even draw people to him. It will draw people to, are you drawing people to Jesus? All right? Now, here's something I want to show you here. So, God is love, is he not? The Bible also says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So you could say it this way, love is spiritual light. If you're not drawing people to Jesus, maybe there's not enough light coming through you. There's not enough love coming through you. Hello? Now, have you ever heard an unsaved person say to a Christian, "There's just something different about you. There's something different about you. I want what you have." Well, it's Jesus. It's your walk. I guarantee you, listen, you will never have an unsaved person say to you, "I want what you have," when you're acting like a jerk. You will never have an unsaved person come to you and say, "I want what you have," when you're not walking in love. But you start walking in love, you're going to start drawing people like a mosquito to a light. Amen? How many of you want to draw people to Jesus? You need to start walking in love. So what's that difference? So, you know, what is that line? What is that line in the sand that's being drawn between the world and between the saved person? It's, of course, love. A Holy Spirit-anointed kind of love. See, when you walk in love, the Holy Spirit says, "Wow, I have a vessel that I can use now. I have a vessel that I can use. I have a vessel that I can trust now." Why? Because you're totally representing Jesus properly. Thank you for the one amen. Someone got it over there. Yes, you are representing Jesus. By the way, the title of my message is this, Characteristics of Divine Love. Characteristics of divine love. So, of course, the Bible reveals that God is love. So, again, everything God does, some things I'm repeating, and that's on purpose. I'm not losing my marbles. Everything that God does is motivated by love. It's motivated by agape. And Ephesians 5:1, of course, it said that we are to imitate that. We are to imitate that kind of a love. Your love walk as a Christian is evidence that you are being led by the Holy Spirit. Did you hear what I just said? Your love walk as a Christian is evidence, is fruit of you being led by the Holy Spirit. It's evidence that you truly are a child of God. You start to really care for people now, right? Your love walk determines your level. Listen to me, ready for this? Your love walk as a Christian determines your level of spiritual maturity as a Christian. That's it, really. Everything fits into the box of love. If you start walking in love, everything's going to fall into place in your life. I promise you that, okay? You got to keep the law of love active in your life. I said you got to keep the spiritual law of love active in your life. Amen? what happens when you start to walk in love? At that point, God's desires becomes your desires. God's priorities become your priorities, all right? It's a heart-to-heart connection with your Heavenly Father. Go to John 15. John 15. Wow, I'm already on page 5 out of 25 today. Isn't that great? John 15. No, I don't have 25. 9, just for those of you who are wondering. John 15, 9 through 14. Hallelujah. As the Father loved me, Jesus said, I also have loved you. Abide, remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. All right, so we're not just stepping in and walking in love for 1 hour, being a jerk for 2. Oh, I'm stepping back in now. Oh, I think I'll be, come on, right? God's not a psycho, right? God is consistent, right? We need to be too. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you. Well, thank you, Jesus. How many of you need joy today? How many of you want that joy to remain in you? Huh? Yeah, me too. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us the clue and the key for that to happen. Those things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be 25%. No, full. This is my commandment that you, here it is, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So verse 9, Jesus was an imitator of his Heavenly Father's love. In one scripture, Jesus said this. He said, hey, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. All right? Because he was an imitator of his Father. How many in here can confidently say this? Hey, if you've seen me, if you watched my life for a day, you've seen Jesus. How many of you can really confidently say that? I'm a pastor and I can't even confidently say that. We got things we got to work out, right? We got things we got to work out. But that's how it should be. That's what we're aiming for. Remember I said the goal of change is what? To become more like Jesus. To be an imitator of him. Amen? Verse 11. If you are lacking joy as a Christian, guess what? Start here. Examine your love walk. Examine your love walk. You know, Jesus was the expressed image of his Heavenly Father, it says. And we are in that same pipeline as the body of Christ. Think about that. Isn't that interesting? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. Well, if people see us, we're in the what? Body of Christ. Jesus is the head, we're the body. So really, we need to be walking to where people see Jesus because we're part of his body. Are you following me? Oh, hallelujah. Now, so walking in and living a life of love releases joy in your life. Why? Very simple answer. Because that's what you were created to do. That's what you were, whenever you're walking in God's purpose for your life, when you're walking in that original intent and purpose of God, it's going to bring joy. If you're here today and you have no joy in your life, you're dealing with some things, and you can't get to that place of joy, there's something broken. There's something off in your life where you're not in the will of God. You got to find that and get back into it. Amen? A failure to walk in and live a life of love puts you outside of God's divine order, outside of his will. And again, like I said, you will end up misrepresenting him. We don't want to misrepresent. We're called ambassadors for Christ, right? So we're representing him all the time. Amen? I mean, we're at different levels in our spiritual walk, but that's our aim. That's our goal. And we need to really stop and think about it. We need to really meditate on this fact. Lord, what areas of my life that I'm not representing you well? Lord, those are areas that I want to change my life, right? All right? So, again, always keep the law of love active in your life as a Christian. If you're if you're not operating in the love of God, if you're not operating in the agape love of God, guess what? Game over, nothing matters. Everything you're doing in your life is void. Are you following me? Whatever, it's getting real quiet up in here today. If you're not walking in the agape love of God, everything you're doing, whether it's tickling your flesh and you're thinking, oh, I'm doing so much for the Lord. No, it's void. Because again, you can even have your body burnt for the sake of the gospel. And it says that if there's not love there, it's profitless for you. So, after saying all that, let me get started with my message here and give you some points. I want to share with you just a few points about agape love, okay? Or the God kind of love, or divine love. Ready? The Holy Spirit is the source of that divine love, all right? Romans 5:5 reveals to us that the love of God is poured out or shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good? That's the Holy. So that's why an unbeliever cannot operate in agape love, the divine agape kind of love, because the world, an unsaved person, does not have the Holy Spirit living in them like you do today. It's only the Holy Spirit can put you over into that agape love. But you know what that also means? It means that you cannot be walking in the flesh. Are you following me? You have a choice. You can walk in the flesh. The unbeliever, yeah, they're just children of the devil. They're doing what they're supposed to do. They're sinning, right? They're in it for themselves. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. But you have a choice. Are you going to fall into the flesh and act like an unbeliever? Or are you going to really tune in and be led by the Holy Spirit, the precious Holy Spirit that's living on the inside of you? Again, the unsaved cannot walk in that divine love. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he's the only one that can lead you into that divine love and care for another person, all right? It was divine love that caused Jesus to cry out, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing, while suspended between heaven and earth on a bloody cross. It was divine love that caused Stephen in the book of Acts, that caused him to cry out and say, lay not this sin to their charge, while he was being stoned by his enemies. Only, listen to me, only the Holy Spirit can plant that kind of love in the human spirit. Are you following me? Only the Holy Spirit can give you that, oh, you can say it this way, love in turbo. Oh, come on, love in overdrive, a supernatural kind of a love, right? Jesus commands us to bless those that curse us and to pray for those who despitefully use us. Now, what caught my eye in that verse was, what does it mean to be despitefully used? Anybody want to talk about that for a moment? To be despitefully used, well, I'm going to talk about it anyways, listen. To be despitefully used by someone means to treat someone in a spiteful, malicious, or contemptuous manner. Listen to this. It implies intentionally causing harm or annoyance, often with a sense of anger and hatred. Has anybody ever treated you like that before? If you're human, they have, right? All right. So God would not command us to do something that's not possible to do. The grace of God is this. Ready? Grace is not a license to sin. Grace isn't a license to go do whatever you want. The grace of God is this, that he has enabled us, he has equipped us with his Holy Spirit to obey his commands and to love people like Jesus loved people. The fact is this, are you going to tune in and focus on that, or are you going to be focused on your flesh and let your flesh run wild in your life? That's the real answer. Divine agape love should be a part of our everyday life, all right? Here we go. Listen, so shift your focus. I put a status on Facebook recently. Like, if you're offended at someone, we need to shift our focus from the offense. We need to shift it away from the offense. The more you focus on the offense, it's just going to make that boiling pot get hotter and hotter. Amen? Shift your focus. Get it back on the word and how you're acting to it. Amen? Divine love, the next point, divine love pursues. Say pursues. It pursues the unlovable. It's not, you know, the world pursues people that love them. No, but divine love pursues the unlovable. Amen? And that takes, it really does, it takes a spiritual mindset, doesn't it? You really got to be walking in the Spirit, right? In Luke 10:19, Jesus said this. He said, he came to this earth to seek and to save that which was lost. That took place, listen to me, that took place, Jesus did that when all of mankind was cursing God and rebelling against him. And yet, Jesus still came to give himself as the perfect sacrifice for our sins and to take our punishment upon himself. Now that's love, right? Divine love is still a motivator that causes God to send laborers into people's path. Oh, listen to me. Divine love is still the motivator that causes God to send laborers into the lives of the unsaved, to send laborers into the backslidden Christian's path and tell them to come back home. There is still, listen to me, there is still a pursuing taking place. And you know who God uses? You. God's using you. But he will use you if you're willing to walk in divine love. Love, the agape kind of love. Amen? Now, divine love causes miracles to happen. You know, you remember the account when the Red Sea parted, right? The children of Israel. God parted the Red Sea, and the enemies of Pharaoh were following them, and he parted the Red Sea. And did you know that God still parted the Red Sea while the children of Israel were complaining to him? They were complaining to him, and they were saying, hey, look, Moses, thanks for your help, but I think we want to go back to Egypt. Their food was a little bit better. Are you following me? See, agape love knows what's best for a person, not necessarily what they want. Oh, did you just hear what I said? Agape love gives a person what they need, not necessarily what they want, because their want might be fleshly. Their want might be something that might take them down spiritually. But God says, I know what you need. And if you're in the proper spiritual mindset, you'll look beyond just the actions of someone, and you'll say, this person needs healing. This person needs compassion. In fact, Jesus, in a lot of his miracles he did, it says that he was moved with compassion. See, if you're walking in agape love, there's always compassion for people. Just before 9/11 took place, there were many Christians, I've seen many testimonies of this, where they said, I felt the Holy Spirit tell me just to go to the Twin Tower area and start ministering to people, start witnessing to them. Like there was a whole army gathering. Why? Why? Because God was pursuing the people to get them born again. He was probably trying to stop them from even showing up that day when 9/11 happened. Are you following me? But the provision was this, okay, if they're not going to listen to me and their life's going to be cut short, I'm going to send evangelists, I'm going to send ministers to try to reach them to receive Jesus before that happens. How many of you know there's things that happen on this earth that aren't necessarily the will of God? Not everything that happens on this earth is the will of God. Well, you know, if God wants it to happen, it's just, no, not really, because someone's probably being killed by a drunk driver somewhere on this earth right now. There's a lot of bad things happening right now. Are you following me? But God in his agape love, he's still trying to pursue humanity. Oh, thank God for his agape kind of love and his ministers that walk in the agape kind of love and are hearing the voice and the sensing the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Divine love will cause a Christian to pursue friends and loved ones with the gospel of Jesus Christ who are unsaved and who are backslidden. Divine love takes every opportunity to bless others when they're not able to bless you back without expecting something in return. unlike the unsaved in the world. Like I said, the world, right? The unsaved, everything is, hey, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine, right? I think probably a lot of that mindset, a lot of the partiality mindset has crept into the body of Christ as a whole on this earth. We got to start doing things and blessing people without expecting anything back. Amen? I wish the banks would start that, right? Okay. The year of Jubilee, right? Okay. But listen to this. But again, I want to throw this out there because you don't have to be a doormat for people either. Hello? Be led by the Holy Spirit. Not, here's what you got to understand. Not every need on this earth is your assignment. Not every need on this earth is your assignment, all right? Not everything on this earth is your responsibility. What is your responsibility? Be led by the Holy Spirit. Move when he says to move. Amen? Divine love is unconditional. It's giving. And that's why, like I said, we are to bless our enemies. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave. Love gave. Love gave. Are you getting it? Love gave. That he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Divine love always gives, all right, something. You're giving something. Not necessarily finances, although it can include that. You're giving of your time. You're giving of your resources to help people. Are you following me? It's giving. You're willing to give. You're on guard, okay? Divine love gives to meet the need, all right? The Word of God says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that good? Man, we got to really get that, all right? You need to understand that God loves those. Here's what is a hard pill to swallow. God loves those that are in hell right now. Are you following me? He loves those that are even in hell right now. God provided for their provision to be saved, but they disregarded. They disregarded Jesus. They disregarded the message of the Word of God. We can't let that happen. We need to get out and reach them. Amen? Divine love is unselfish. Jesus said in John 15, he said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus wasn't just talking about physically dying, okay? But to set aside your fleshly agenda, your selfish agenda, when a need arises. Amen? All right? So we got to set aside. So it's not, it's not just talking about physically dying for someone, although it does include that. All right? It's giving of everything you have to try to help someone, okay? The world is selfish. You know, the world is the strongest survives, right? But a Christian must be selfless, totally relying on the Holy Spirit, which will lead you to seeing the needs of people outside of yourself. Did you just hear what I said? Outside of your own life. All right, what is selfish? Selfish, it always thinks about self. Self, you're always looking inward. Agape love is looking outward. It's always looking outward. Amen? Next, and I'm almost done. Divine love always protects. Say protects. The Word of God is filled with promises of protection for his children. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Hallelujah. It's filled with these kind of things. Isaiah 59 verse 19 says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Isn't that good to know? We're not alone on this earth, but we need to team up with him, amen, with the Lord. All right? So we as Christians, being children of God, we need to protect life. We need to protect people, right? Am I my brother's keeper? Yeah, you are. We are. We got to look out. We got to look out for people. Amen? All right? We need to be protectors of human life in general. You know, I mean, even to the point, come on, here it is, ready? Abortion. We need to protect innocent human life. Amen? As a Christian, we need to protect innocent human life, okay? You cannot be a Christian, a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you're pro-abortion. You can't do it. It's just impossible. That's impossible. And here we go. The last point I'm going to share. Divine love, ready for this, gives us the ability to look beyond the current faults of a person to their God-given potential in them. Oh, come on. You know, someone says, oh, I'm prophetic. If you're truly prophetic, you're not going to see the current faults. You're looking beyond to their potential. Amen? That's why the prophetic spiritual gift and spiritual gifts in general, they must operate within the boundary of agape love. That's why the word says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. And then it says, especially to prophesy. Are you following me? But the first instruction is this, pursue love. Love better be your motivation or else it's not going to matter. It's not going to be a profit for the kingdom of God at all. Amen? If your flesh is in it at all, it corrupts the entire process. That's why they're called spiritual gifts and not fleshly gifts. You got to have a spiritual mindset. If you want to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestations of the Spirit, you have to have a spiritual mindset from a heavenly perspective. All right? That's why prophetic words, they can't be motivated by how you feel about someone. In fact, the biggest indicator, you know, if I want to see someone who's really prophetic and test it, I want to put one of your enemies in front of you and I want to see some prophetic words from heaven spoken. Are you following me? Get it? Someone who really ticked you off. Someone who you have the biggest problem with. Go ahead, prophesy over them now. Oh, the Lord loves you. Oh, you're going to do great things. And your flesh is like, ugh. Oh, bless you. Oh, doors are opening for you. Lord, do I have to say this? Oh, I see provision coming in. Oh, you following me? That's how you know if you're truly operating in the prophetic, when your own soulish junk doesn't get in the way. You know, so, you know, why else would Jesus spend so much time with the lost? Divine love caused him to see what others didn't see in them. The sick and diseased, Jesus hung out, come on, people with leprosy. People who are the most rejected in society. Why? Why did all the sinners want to hang out with him? Jesus, you're hanging out with sinners. You're going to Taco Bell and hanging out with them and having dinner with them. What's up, Jesus? It's love. They're drawn to me. They sense the love on me. They sense that I truly care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Oh, you got to get that. You want to be in ministry? There it is. People don't know how much you care until they know. People don't know how much, don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Yeah. It's been a long service already. But his goal was to lead them to himself so their potential and purpose in the will of God can be fulfilled in their life and they can be delivered from hell for eternity. So if you're walking in divine love toward others, it will motivate you to share Christ with the unsaved. A great definition of love is found in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Let me just read those four verses. Go there with me and I'm done. We'll peace out till another week. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. This is the definition of love. Write it down. Put it around your house. Read it every day. Just as a reminder. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. So church, let everything you think, say, and do be motivated by the agape kind of love, the God kind of love. That is the greatest evidence and fruit in your life that you're being led by the Holy Spirit and you're a child of God, because love never fails. Amen? Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Prayer team, come on up. Boy, not too bad. 6 minutes past. After starting 21 after. Woo! All right. Prayer team, come on up. Hallelujah. Now, maybe there's someone in here, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Today, the Lord pricked you. The love of God touched your heart today. And you want to make Jesus Lord of your life. If you've never done that before, I want you to come down to this altar and pray with one of the prayer team members. Now, maybe this message, it really pricked your heart. You're a believer, but you realize, wow, my love walk has been sliding. It's really been sliding. And today, I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. If you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, and you're like, I want my light to shine, I want to walk in the love of God toward people, I want you to come down and just tell someone here. Just say, hey, this message touched my heart. Pray for me. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism and speak in other tongues, and you want to receive the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, you're a believer, but you never received the Holy Spirit baptism, come on down. They'll pray with you to receive. It's very, very simple. It's not complicated. If you need prayer for anything else, a healing, family member, whatever, come on down. But have a great week, everyone. Prayer call Tuesday, Wednesday, Bible study, women's Bible study on Thursday. We got stuff going on. Amen. And we're going to have a great week. You're going to have a great week and be blessed. Amen. Love you all. You know where to find me if you need me. Hallelujah.